Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
It was about 2 weeks before Christmas and 3 months after the birth of our second daughter that my husband had told me that he was leaving and interested in another woman. I was totally devastated and in shock and not expecting it. I was now a single mom with two kids on maternity leave and only having a part-time job to go back to. We had just recently started attending a church, and the pastor and his wife had tried talking to him to no avail. And they came out to visit me and told me basically that not to worry about what he was doing, that to just make decisions for what was best for me and the girls. I had a friend attending the same church who asked my permission to give a lady my name and phone number. And anyway, I talked to the lady, and you know what? The Lord knew exactly what I needed and who to bring into my life. This lady ended up moving into a complex two blocks from where I lived, and she basically came in and took over my life and kept me going. We would get together probably every day. She had a boy that was Amanda's age, and the kids would play. We would put them in strollers, take them for walks. We would just sit and have coffee and talk, and we would attend Bible studies together. She made sure that when the girl's dad had them for the evening that I had something to do and I wasn't just at home by myself. When I did go back to work, she babysat the kids, sometimes even coming over to my place in the morning, waking up her son so that I didn't have to get my girls up and ready. I would come home, sometimes she'd have supper started or done, and sometimes she would even have my kids all bathed so that it was one less job for me to do that evening. It was just such a blessing to have somebody there. So it was really the church family and her that got me through. And I'll never forget the next December before Christmas coming home and finding a turkey and an envelope with $250 in it to help me and the girls at Christmas time.
Well, around this time of year, we all hear lots and lots of stories about angels. We hear lots and lots of stories about miraculous things happening all around us. And I think that sometimes we can look at all of these stories that we're reading about at Christmas time and that we're learning about, and we can start to think, well, what's God doing now? Like, when's the last time that you were visited by an angel, right? Or even better, a chorus of angels singing to you about God. It doesn't happen that often these days. And yet, during the Christmas season, we can read about these things and wonder, well, how is God working now? Is God showing himself to people now? Does he show up today? And the answer to that is yes, he does. See, sometimes he shows up in the miraculous ways that we're going to talk about this week, the miraculous ways that we read about in the Bible. There are still people today that will have an angelic visitor. But let's face it, even back in biblical days, that didn't happen that often. It was more the exception than the rule. But you see, God also shows up in little ways that help us big time at just the right time. He does show up, and we can see things like this in stories like the one that Debbie just shared about people being sent to them at just the right time to help them through these situations that they don't know if they can make it through. Difficult times, these struggles. You see, often when we need, in the moment that we need it most, God will speak to our hearts through the Bible or through the Holy Spirit or through another person. But did you know that there are times where God may actually be wanting to use us to help others or to show his love to them through us? See, we're so quick to be running around going, how come God doesn't come and speak to me in my life all the time? Why isn't he coming here and making my life easy? Why isn't he making me happy? But at the same time, understand that there are many opportunities and many moments where he says, but I want you doing something for them. Sometimes he shows up to us and he speaks to us, and it's not him saying, "There, there, nice person, you'll get through it all." Sometimes he's saying, "You need to go help them. You need to go say that to them." And how often do we fail in that moment? How often do we ignore that voice? Today, if you're wanting to follow along with our message, you can go to ascc.life and tap on the message notes tile. You'll notice that the message notes are actually right there in that tile now, and you can follow along and read the passage that we're going to be coming to in just a moment. Take your own notes, all of that kind of stuff. But here's the thing. Sometimes God shows himself to you, and sometimes he shows himself through you. And that's something that I think we don't always think about. We really want God to show up to us. But I think sometimes beyond maybe just a "God, will you just, as I'm living my life, doing my thing, minding my own business, will you just show people you through me?" Without understanding that sometimes there's actually things he wants us to do to show himself through us. And so today, as we look at Mary, at Jesus' mother, I want you to consider in what ways God has been speaking to you and how he is wanting to be shown to others through you. And that's actually what we're going to talk about at the end of the service here. That's your action step for today. I'm giving you a sneak preview of it so that you can just be thinking about things as we're talking today. Because sometimes God shows himself to you, and sometimes he shows himself through you. But in either case, God is working and at work in this world, in your life. I want to start off before we jump into the Bible passage for today by praying, because I need it and because I feel like we could all use it. So will you join me just in a quick word of prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can come to you and that we can look in your word today, that we can learn about the things that you have to say to us, the examples of other people, that we can learn about the way that you miraculously came into this world, Lord God. Lord, this Christmas season, I ask that you'll help us all of us who are sick, to get well soon. Lord, that you'll help us to be able to think and retain the things that we learn over this Christmas season, that we will have our hearts in tune with what you want to speak to us and what you want to show others through us, God, and that we will be receptive to that and ready to go into that. Give us courage and boldness, I pray, and help us to trust in you. And Lord, take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak, and make them something worthwhile through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Will you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1 this morning? Luke chapter 1. It'll be on the it's already on the screen, and so you can follow along there if you prefer. We're going to be starting at verse 26 here, and initially reading to verse 30. So let's do that now. I am totally not in the right chapter. There we go. Maybe. Yes. Here we are, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." I think it's so interesting that here this angel shows up to this young girl and he's like, "Hey, good stuff and blessings to you." And she's like, what's going on? What does he mean by that? Like, she's trying to figure out as if maybe there's something going on. I mean, let's face it. She's terrified, right? Here's this young girl probably going about doing her housework for the day. All of a sudden, here's an angelic being in front of her who's like, "Hey, God's grace to you. You're a favored one." I mean, if you read in the Old Testament, whenever the angels come to see someone, they're flat on their face, trembling, thinking that they're going to die. And then here's Mary, and she's probably scared, but she's more thinking like, what does this mean? In any case, what we see here is that hearing from God can be scary, especially when there's an angelic being in front of us. I mean, you can think that you'd be as cool with it as you want to think. But I guarantee you that if all of a sudden, you know, you're alone in the house and then some bright figure in armor or in robes, whatever picture of an angel you want to see, comes before you and is like, "Hey, what's up?" You're going to scream really loud. There's just no way around that. Hearing from God can be scary in that sense. But you know, it can also be scary in another sense. And we're going to see in just a moment that this angel is going to tell Mary something that's going to happen. And it's not an easy thing. In fact, it's a scary thing. I mean, we all know the Christmas story. There's really no spoilers that I can give at this point here in this group. We all know what's going on, and it's a scary thing that's going to be told to Mary here. And in your life, maybe God has told you something, and it's been scary. You know, maybe it's even that he was wanting to speak into your life and lift you up at a time where you really needed him. You know, even those moments can be scary. I remember for myself being in a really difficult moment and hearing God speak possibly the most clearly that I've ever heard him speak. And when he finished, I was like, "So what you're saying is I still have to go through this. Thanks." He's like, I'm with you. There's stuff on the other end of this, but you got to get through it. And that was a scary thing. I mean, nobody wants to hear that there isn't just some magic bullet to get out of their situation. But sometimes even the good things God tells us can be scary. Quite often we're in the midst of scary situations when he does come to talk to us. Sometimes God shows himself to you. Sometimes he shows himself through you. And hearing from God can be scary. Let's pick up again at verse 31. The angel says, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." See, nothing is impossible with God, even when it seems like it is. Let's be honest. Mary may have been young, but she knew how babies were made. And when the angel came to this young virgin girl, betrothed to be married, but not yet really doing anything, she's doing the math going, "This doesn't make sense, God. I mean, you created us. Don't you know how babies work?" Because she's never been with a guy, but this angel is saying, "Hey, this is going to happen. And this is the impossible." Like, this isn't just, "Hey, guess what? This, God is coming to earth through you. The Messiah is finally going to be born and you're the one we've chosen." This is also just biologically impossible. And Mary points it out, like, "How's this going to work? You say that this is going to happen, but how is it going to work?" The angel just says, "Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing." You, who a young girl who hasn't been with a man yet, you are going to give birth to the anointed one of God. And you know what? Your relative over here who was too old and who was barren and couldn't give birth, I enabled her to have a child. Nothing is impossible with God, even when it seems like it is. You're going to bear the one that has been being waited for years. It seems impossible. And it is. Except through me. And I want you to understand here that this wasn't some weird thing like you would read about in Greek mythology where God then appeared and some weird stuff went on. This was the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. And the baby Jesus was formed within her, not through any kind of human act or anything like that, but simply the impossible being made possible by the Holy Spirit of God. What a powerful thing. But you know, we can be so afraid of the impossible even when God tells us that it's possible. I mean, impossible situations can freak us out. in Kuwait City, the capital of Kuwait, and home to nearly 2.4 million people. It sits on this inlet of the Persian Gulf. And life changed for many of the residents of the city when oil was discovered in 1936. As you can imagine, life would change very much if suddenly oil was found anywhere, but especially back then. As people began to make their home in the city, the need for clean drinking water became greater. So in the 1950s, a desalination plant was built, turning salt water into fresh drinking water. This desalination plant was a big deal, and it made the city even more livable for all the people coming to be there. Fast forward a few more years to 1964, and a freighter named the Al Kuwait, carrying more than 6,000 sheep, sank in the harbor. And the ship had to be raised before the toxins from the sheep would affect the tanks of the desalination plant, which would have threatened the source of drinking water for thousands and thousands of people. It would have been a massive catastrophe. And so really what this came down to is that the ship had to be raised up from the bottom of this the water intact. It couldn't have a rupture in the hull or else toxins would flood out and destroy their drinking water. And so people began to think, how are we going to do this? I mean, this is already a disaster that this freighter has sunk, but now we have to figure out how to do the impossible. But, you know, don't damage the hull, but get all this up or else the consequences are going to be huge. How are we going to do this? And so they gathered all these engineers together and all these planners and these smart people, and they're all trying to figure out how to do this. And they're all going, I can't think of any way to do this without damaging the ship. Like, this is an impossible task. Until a Danish engineer named Carl Krøyer made a suggestion. They would pump millions of small styrofoam balls into the sunken ship. Since styrofoam was buoyant and would displace the water, the ship would rise to the surface. Now, at first blush, this guy sounds brilliant. Like, who comes up with the idea of just pouring styrofoam balls into a ship to make it float again? And so you're thinking, like, this is some kind of crazy inspiration this guy had. But, you know, he didn't get this idea from degrees. He didn't get it from his studies in engineering or anything like that. Where he got it from was the Danish edition of Walt Disney's comics, where Donald Duck and his nephews funneled ping pong balls into a sunken yacht. And he figured, hey, if it worked for them, maybe it'll work for us. So there you are. I have a feeling he didn't tell the group of engineers that that's where he got the idea from, you know, because you can just imagine, like, well, that might work. I mean, it's our only option. Where'd you think of that? Oh, Donald Duck did it. You know, it's not going to go over that well, but here he is, and they begin to do this, and they pour these styrofoam balls into the hull of the ship and raise it to the surface, and they're able to avert this massive catastrophe because a guy did the impossible based on what he saw in a cartoon. But you know, if he was able to do that, do the impossible because he saw something on a cartoon, how much more when God is telling you to do the impossible? Do you think that it's possible? When the one who is telling you to do something is the one for whom nothing is impossible, how much more confidence should you have in him? How much more likely is it that it's going to work? And so I know that in all of our lives, there's probably situations that we look at and we're like, that's impossible. Maybe God has told you that he wants you to speak to someone about your faith, and you're like, God, you don't know that person. Me and that person, they don't get along. We don't get along. You know, like that person, they're such an atheist. Like, they once claimed, and they were proud of it, that they beat up two Christians on the side of the road who tried to tell them the gospel. And you want me to go and tell that person my story and about you, Jesus? Are you sure? What if they beat me up? They're not going to listen to me. But if God's telling you to do it, you got to remember that nothing is impossible with God, even when it is impossible for you. So we come to verse 38. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Do you think at that moment that this young girl, possibly as young as 12 years old, cultural differences, remember, it's not weird, that this young girl, she came to grips and understanding of what was going to happen, that it maybe flashed through her mind that this was a big deal. You know, that this might not be an easy thing. Not only did it seem like it was impossible, but also it was going to have a huge impact on her life. She was going to be raising a child, but not just any child, but the child of God. You know, what would her betrothed, what would Joseph think when suddenly she turns up pregnant and is like, oh, well, God told me that he put this child inside of me. I mean, we all know that Joseph's first thought had to be, yeah, right. How would family and friends, how would society look at her? And yet her reaction was, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And then the angel left. You have to consider today, are you willing to do what Jesus enables you to do? Because with God, it's not about whether or not he's going to give you the ability to do what he's asked you to do. It's not about whether he's going to give you the strength. It's not about whether or not he's going to be with you. It's about whether or not you're willing to do it. Now listen, I'm not saying that when he says to go to that person who beats up Christians and tell them about the gospel, that you're not going to get beaten up. But it could be that you're the person before the person that finally gets through to them with the gospel, and that when you share your truth with him about what Jesus did, that it's going to change something. You don't know what it is. Nobody likes to think about getting their nose broken. But sometimes getting your nose broken is in the will of God. Are you willing to do what Jesus enables you to do? Mary did. And man, the world changed because of it. Remember, sometimes God shows himself to you. And we can get a warm, fuzzy feeling in our time of need, or we can have somebody come into our life that really just, when we were ready to give up or where we couldn't have gone forward, that person helps us and gets us going. Sometimes God shows himself to you and it's because he's telling you what's going to happen, or it's him telling you what you need to do. You know, sometimes he shows himself through you to others. Because we got to remember in this whole life that we live, it's not about us. It's about God using us to save the world. Sometimes God shows himself to you, and sometimes he shows himself through you. I want you to imagine just for a moment what life would be like if that thing that God is telling you to do, if you stepped out in faith and you did it, and he came through. Or think for a moment in the situation that you're in, if you weren't sure how you were going to, you know, you're not sure how you're going to move forward, what would happen if Christians began to actually listen to the voice of God and what he's telling them to do, and somebody came to you and they began to help you in much the same way that that lady helped Debbie. What would churches be like if people really listened to the voice of God, not only for themselves, but also to show others God? What would happen to our community if the church began to listen to the voice of God and do the things that he calls us to do in his strength? I truly believe that it would change the world. So today, if you're in this place and you're like, yeah, I'm willing to at least explore this idea. Maybe there's something here. Then here's what I want you to do today. I want you to consider, how has God been showing himself to you, and how is he asking to show himself through you? How has God been showing himself to you, and how is he asking to show himself through you? Maybe that's something you need to write down on the back of one of those cards in the seat and just take with you, take home. Maybe you need to save those notes on your phone or whatever it is so that you can think about this today, and maybe it'll be a few days. Maybe you come to the point where you're like, you know what? God's been really quiet right now. I haven't heard from him for a while. Sometimes that happens. And sometimes it's just the case that we need to open the Bible a little bit more and spend more time there. Sometimes we just have to push through those times. And sometimes he's teaching us something. Sometimes he's actually speaking to us through the silence. And if we can come to the place where we understand why it is that things are silent, or why it is that we're going through the difficulties that we're going through, sometimes that can help us to get to the other side. So consider, how has God been showing himself to you, and how is he asking to show himself through you? Let's pray. Lord God, there may be some scared people in this room today. People who have a grasp on what it is that you've asked them to do and don't want to do it. There may be some people in this room that are confused right now, thinking, well, when do I ever hear from God? Or people that are going through tough times, wondering, when is God going to send someone to me, or when is God going to show himself to me? Lord, today I ask that your Holy Spirit will be present in each of these people's lives. Lord, that you will fill them, that you will build them up and lead them and guide them, that they will have such an overwhelming sense of your comfort and peace, Lord God, that you will counsel them, that you will help them. God, that you'll bring joy to their lives. Lord, for those of us that have been ignoring the things that you've been telling us to do, or have just gotten to the point where we've pretty much tuned you out in general and we just don't hear those little nudges anymore. We don't feel you speaking to us and saying, it's time to speak to that person, or why don't you help that individual out? Lord, will you just begin to soften our hearts once again to your call and to what it is that you want to say to us? Especially during this Christmas time, what better time of the year than a time that's supposed to be about remembering the generosity that you showed us, for us to be people that are generous with our time and with our abilities and with our finances, Lord God, by obeying the leading that your Holy Spirit has laid on our hearts. And so be with us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about. I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you. But the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes through a true relationship with their Creator. So God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so he came to us. And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship with Jesus. I would love to help you take the next step and to put helpful resources in your hands. Will you let me know that you made a decision today by going to ascc.life and tapping I have decided? Again, that's ascc.life. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.